What up? Happy Monday. Another new About Last Night podcast for your week. Hope you guys had a great weekend. I had a killer weekend. My first time at the Tampa Improv. Shout out to all you tamponians. All you tampons? What do you call it? There was some weird but very affable Latino woman in the corner of my late night Saturday show that was like, "It's Tampon Papa." And I was like, "Oh my God, Tampon Papa is the new name of this city." And I love it. And it was a great time. Kicked it with some New Kids fans after the show last night. Went to a bar. Shout out to Jill and Kelly for the recommendation on the karaoke. I posted a video on my Instagram of me singing "Hold On" by Wilson Phillips. And guess what? That song fucking brings the house down. It's a fan favorite. And there was a lot of other shit that happened during that song. So check out my Instagram, Adam Ray Comedy, for that. But thank you to everyone that came out. The shows were pretty much all sold out, and that was a blast. Eric Myers, shout out to him for crushing it, featuring and Law hosting. And just a great time. Can't wait to come back. And I'm recording this from Disney World, because that's where I am for the next few days, baby. Today's episode is, man, just one of those phenomenal, hilarious, interesting as fuck, and super fun episodes with Steve-O. You know him from Jackass. You know him from and his YouTube channels, from MTV, from so many amazingly dangerous and hilarious stunts. He's got a new stand-up special that's going to be coming out soon, and we talk about that. We talk about prepping for the special. We talk about how he's come up with a new bucket list of things to do that the special is going to be revolved around. Some of these things that he is doing are fucking mind-blowing. All of them are, actually. I don't know how he's surviving, but he is, and he's incredible. And, man, we laughed a lot on this episode. So enjoy it, Steve-O, the one and only. Follow him on all social media at Steve-O. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy. Brad at Brad Williams Comic. At Aylin Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for all past and present episodes and Aylin merch. A lot of Aylin merch this weekend at the shows, which I signed, which was awesome. And email us at AboutLastNightPod@gmail.com for a chance to get some free merch sent your way. And also comment on the iTunes page and rate the podcast 5 stars on iTunes. Helps us climb the charts. Adam Ray merch, official Adam Ray merch, will be available in 2 weeks, and I cannot fucking wait. So make sure you are logged on. It's going to be shopadamray.com is where all the stuff will be. Amazing shirts and hats and hoodies, and I can't fucking wait. And it'll be all ready when I go to Vegas at the Tropicana Laugh Factory. The Tropicana in Las Vegas, August 27th through the 31st is when you can come next see me. I have a bunch of LA shows between now and the 27th. So come out and see me. Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, Improv. There's a big Adam Ray and Buddy show at the Comedy Store on August 21st with Chris D'Elia and many more hilarious folks. So make sure you get tickets to that. And again, come see me in Vegas at the Tropicana Laugh Factory, August 27th through the 31st. Brad Williams this weekend is at Cap City Comedy Club in Austin, Texas, Wednesday through Saturday. Go see Brad, Austin, Texas, Cap City Comedy Club, Wednesday through Saturday. Tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. So many great episodes coming up, so make sure you're subscribed and tell your friends, tell your family, hide your kids, hide your wife. And ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Steve-O.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. It's About Last Night.
How much money is it going to take you to be like, "I will never staple my scrotum again"?
I don't think I have to staple my balls anymore. Not because I'm unwilling, but because it's really at this point. Once this next special comes out, then I think I've closed the book on ball stapling.
I think you opened the book and closed it. I don't even think anyone else went near that book.
Right, but dude, I'm like way deep in the next special. You know, now I've got this. I've got the format figured out.
Yeah. So, and you let us see this special that you're it's not available yet, but you're shopping around, and no doubt someone's gonna pick this thing up.
Yeah, it'll find a home.
It's
too good and it's too clever
and it's inventive. I've never seen a special like that before.
Right. Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. And you know, like just the way that it worked, man. I did the Jackass thing. The last movie came out in 2010. I was already sober. I was avoiding bars and nightclubs like the plague, but had every reason to go to comedy clubs. And I was like, fuck, I got to be doing this. And so I dove in. And when that third Jackass movie came out, I went out on my stand-up tour thinking, now I'm going to become a stand-up. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was a little bit of an uphill battle getting, you know, accepted Steve-O, the stand-up.
Yeah.
But I never gave up. I didn't quit.
Did that almost drive you harder, knowing that, like, you had to earn the respect of comics had been grinding for a minute, looking to try to get the sort of recognition that you were just coming in with?
Yeah, I mean, I was motivated for sure, and yeah, I felt that it was entirely likely that what I was doing was riding the wave of Jackass for as long as I could possibly get away with it, and that was going to fizzle out. And so my mentality was just to try to tour as much as possible and make as much money as possible while I still could.
Yeah, yeah. And hey, I don't blame you for that, because if I put a fish hook through my cheek, I would want to make money off of that for the rest of my fucking life.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, thanks, man.
In fact, I think there's still butthole firework money to be made.
Sure.
Don't close the book on that.
Yeah.
I think that there's for sure, man. I've got one coming up that I was thinking about doing fireworks with, but
do you have any more orifices to fire fireworks out of?
Dude, it's crazy. We'll get into it.
Yeah.
But the way that it worked, like, I was trying to get other projects going while I, you know, was new in the stand-up world.
Right.
And I just couldn't fucking sell anything, man. Like, all my TV show ideas, like, just weren't working. And then finally I got frustrated and I started a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I was, like, doing stand-up comedy on the road and, you know, intermittently filming YouTube videos, and then
before it was profitable.
Well, no, I came into YouTube in 2013. Like, people
okay,
were
so
killing
like,
it.
Right,
then.
Yeah.
People were killing it then, but I never posted videos frequently enough for that to be really like significant income.
Sure,
that was just more to keep my sanity. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I kept charging with the stand-up. I did my first special for Showtime.
Yep,
and it kind of came and went, and it didn't change my life the way I was looking for it to, and, mm-hmm. and that hurt my fucking feelings, because I felt like, now I'm going to have a Showtime comedy special, and everyone's going to take me seriously as a stand-up. I'm going to be established, and nothing really changed,
right.
You know? And whatever, I didn't let it discourage me too much. I kept going, and I remember putting together my new show. Like, as soon as I taped that special, I started just trying out new material on the road, you know? Like, I would do like half old, half new.
Yeah.
And while I was doing the putting together the new stuff, I was like, fuck, you know. Remember one night on stage, it might have been after, like, you know, when it was a whole new show. And I'm sitting there on stage, and all of a sudden this light goes off in my head. I'm like, dude, all of the stories that I'm telling in this new act all fucking happened on camera. Yeah. So I could potentially tape for my next special so that it actually will stand out. I can tape the comedy special, but edit into the stand-up all of the footage of the stories that I'm actually telling, so people are seeing the stories happen as they're hearing the stories being told.
Yeah.
And I fucking went nuts. I went absolutely fucking crazy for this idea.
Yeah, dude, I've never seen it before.
Yeah, and like I said, we got to see the preview, and it's so, like, they say theater of the mind, you know, allow people to fill in the blanks. But the fact that you have that footage.
Oh, yeah. And just not like a couple shots of it, but like
detail.
Some of these stories are like, yeah,
oh, dude,
you're.
I'm just so stoked on it. And this was the biggest thing that helped me as a stand-up, ironically. Like, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, but it's just fucking true, that for the whole first, I want to say, 5 years of me being a stand-up comic on the road, I was unwilling to study footage of my shows. I would tape them with the best intentions, but when I started watching them, I was like, oh, like I just fucking couldn't do it, man. It
that's
like,
everybody. Everybody, it's hard. It's hard to watch yourself.
I could not fucking watch myself. I hated it. And, and it would, like, more than, like, whenever I would do that, because I'd sit down, you know, and try and have, like, joke writers watch one with me, and it would just, I would just fucking lose confidence in myself, man. I'd be watching it, and it would just fucking, I'd hate it, and I would hate it.
Yeah.
And then, but the thing was that as soon as this struck me that I'm going to edit footage into the stand-up, all of a sudden I'm like, okay, fuck it, dude. Now I got to show people what, like, I have the vision, but now I got to show people. So I started taping my shows and editing into the footage, you know, editing it all together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in doing
good
that.
Good move.
In doing
that's
that,
what you showed me was shows from Tempe when you were first doing that. Yeah,
yeah, dude. And in doing that, man, there was no fucking way around it anymore. I could no longer hide from the footage of me doing stand-up. And what happened was, yeah, there was a lot of shit that I didn't like. There was a lot of shit I'm looking at, and I'm like, fuck, I hate the way I do this. I hate the way I do that. And by editing it, footage into it, I was forced to watch it, and I just naturally addressed the shit that I fucking hated.
Yeah, yeah.
And
tighten it up.
Dude, and it improved. Yeah. Like, my shit improved. It was just like the classic, like, fucking head in the sand is what I had been. The fucking bird with his head in the sand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Changing nothing. And then I started doing that. And, like, I actually, like... In this case,
the car in the butthole.
Yeah. Dude, totally.
And, but you're right. You hadn't been... It's funny how, like, you have to... I don't think a lot of comics like to rewatch themselves or listen to themselves, but it's like, it is necessary to critique what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. It's so... Dude, like, the improvement, I really saw improve. Now, like, to try to watch my first comedy special, I just had something that, like, you know... Where I kind of had to like pull a bit, I just had to pull a bit from the first comedy special to show someone, and it was just so fucking cringy.
Yeah,
and like, you know, and it's not the case with this new one.
And that it's I would tell you that it never that it gets easier to watch yourself, but man, I've had to edit now 3 specials, and every time it's just like ugh.
Right,
like I just. Like, I can tell that people like it. I can tell that people like it. I can tell it's good, but at the same time, we watch it with like a jeweler's loop, just like seeing every little move that we did wrong and things and things that we said wrong.
But at the same time, we address that shit when we do watch it.
Yeah,
and shit improves.
You can see things like, why did I leave the microphone stand there? That ruined that joke. Why did I go over that way? Why did I say it that way?
For sure.
How much did you add to certain stories that you even just like?
Once I started like cutting it in, and then I'm like, oh fuck,
you remember details? Well, I'm just curious, like in the first telling of a story, because you do a brilliant job of like recounting every part that you feel like is necessary for the story, but like I'm always curious if you go, oh my god, I forgot about that part of the stunt or the story just from watching the footage, and then you get another maybe 2 minutes of specificity, and then more room for jokes.
There's certainly certain things that I was actually telling stories wrong in some cases, and then to look at the footage, like, fuck, I didn't remember it that way, you know?
Well, because you were puking blood.
there's certain cases like that, but the stories that I told were all, like, pretty, like, obscure shit. I mean, it's generally, like, a journey through my criminal record, you know? Like, is really what it amounts to, and it's like, I don't know, I feel comfortable putting out this old stuff with this old footage. Because even back when it all happened, it was relatively obscure for the most part. You know, like you would have to be such a diehard Steve-O fan in order to really know like all these stories I'm telling. And if that's the case, you're going to enjoy it anyway.
Yeah.
But with that said, I didn't want it to all be like recycled old footage like down memory lane. So I set about just recording new stuff to drop in. So it's like an old story and then something new. And then like, you know, so that there's like a bunch of new stuff as well. And so I'm just real happy with how it came out. And then with having taped that, I already knew exactly where I'm going next. You know?
That's a good feeling.
Oh, dude, I know, Dan. And I just did my first hour. I just did my first hour this past weekend in Irvine.
No shit?
Yeah, since I taped the special.
Dang, how'd that feel?
Dude, it felt fucking great.
You've been writing for it for...
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm sticking with the same format, but there's no more memory lane, dude. It's 100% new. Everything's new. And like, and it just kind of happened organically. Like the first spot that I did... the first spot I did after I taped the special, I think, was the Comedy Store. And I walked out and I go, so I'm in a fucked up situation. I'm Steve-O in my 40s. You know, it's like...
Yeah, is it time to go to Steven-O? Or, like, or wait, is that a...
Stefan?
Is that an Asian actor, I think, Steven-O?
I don't know, but...
Sandra-O,
dude,
that's like, what I'm thinking of.
It's such a predicament, you know? It's such a predicament to be this fucking, like... adolescent fucking, you know, idiot asshole fucking jackass dude who's now middle-aged.
Yeah,
now it's like a real fucking thing. And so, like, you know, the way that and the way it all kind of mapped out, it's like I want to do a new special where it's all new stuff, but there's just not that much shit left for me to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
which brings me to the title of the new tour and what the special after this one will be, which is Steve-O the Bucket List. And it's like,
whoa!
I have a fucking list of ideas that are...
How do you have a bucket list? Well, dude, this, and I'm saying this very honestly.
Yeah, with all the sincerity.
Dude, and I'll tell you every fucking idea on the list. I don't
will
give,
you?
Yeah.
You
What's
bet.
Left to do?
Well, wait, I want to guess first. Let's play a little game called Guess Steve-O's Bucket List.
I mean, okay, now to...
By the way, you should let the audience, you should start some sort of like hashtag and trend thing building up to it where people get to pitch ideas.
Family feud style.
I could. Mm-hmm. And I think it's gonna ultimately be called Bucket List Part 1.
Oh, yeah.
Because like,
so you would get footage of all these things, and then...
That's what I've been doing. I've been hard at work.
You've already been doing it?
Oh, dude, big time, man. That's how the new act is that I'm simultaneously filming the bucket list items as I develop the stand-up material, you know, leading up to them and of them, around them.
Was it on your bucket list to break 36 light bulbs with your balls in Morocco?
That was...
Because I saw that video.
Sure, that...
Which is nuts.
That one wasn't as much of a bucket list item, but there was a production company I worked with to do a branded deal to promote Pepsi and Papa John's Pizza for Super Bowl of, you know, the one before last, which is where I met my girl. And these guys, whatever, this production company was great, and they wanted to do a show with me, and they said, what about we do like a Steve-O's World Records? And we set world records on every episode. And I was like, I want to set up the world record for the most light bulbs broken with balls. And so that was like a relatively...
What was
idea.
The old record? One?
Right.
Yeah, and it did like, you do a thing where... Guinness came to you and it's like, well, in order
Guinness
for me-
doesn't give a fuck about me. I think Guinness, like, they really don't. Because, dude, there's no way that anybody else has barfed anywhere nearly as many times on national television as I have. I'm like borderline professional bulimic.
At this you point,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I try to stop barfing. Like, I really gave it up, you know, a long time ago, but fuck, I got a lot of barfs in, you know. there's a lot of things
that's like, gonna be on your tombstone. fuck, you got a lot of barfs in.
Yeah, dude. Right.
What's an item on your bucket list?
The bucket list is like largely ideas that I've had fucking forever that just couldn't happen for a lot of, you know, various reasons. Mm-hmm. The first example that I give is and I don't want to like pour the whole bit out onto the podcast, but skydiving is something that secretly I was afraid to do it. I just don't like.
I'm still afraid to do it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you all about
unless Brad
how,
does it with me. That's the only way I'll do it.
I'll tell you all about how it works. But here's the thing: is that like I'm perfectly comfortable jumping off of like big old shit. You know, I jumped off the Tower of London Bridge, which is fucking tall. And
you need a backflip into 4 feet of water in San Antonio.
Right. Sure, like I'm cool with
off a bridge.
Yeah, I'm cool with jumping.
You wouldn't even do that.
No. And I'm 4 feet tall. So the math lines up perfectly, and I'm still not doing it.
Right. Like, I've spent my whole life jumping off shit. And so, like, you know, I kind of look at things very analytically, like, very you know, pragmatically, logistically. Like, I size it up, and there's just no, I just can't wrap my head around bungee jumping, or I fucking hate roller coasters.
Me too.
I fucking hate roller
coasters. Me too.
Dude, I've been to that.
Do people know that about you?
It's
because it's a thrill experience thing. So I think, like, people just assume anything
like
crazy
it.
You love.
Dude, I don't like
you
it.
You backflipped off the Hollywood Dam.
I know, dude.
And you can't go on a roller coaster that you are literally watching people exit safely.
I know. It makes no fucking sense. Wow. That's why.
Is it a control thing? Like, you feel like you're in control when you do the backflip, but someone else built the roller coaster, so your life's in someone else's hands?
It's not anything that, like, logical.
You don't like lines?
What it is that in the truest sense, I am not an adrenaline junkie at all. I am nothing but an attention whore. And so that's why I do the stuff that I do. I do what it takes to be shocking, to be outrageous, to get people's attention, to try to win them over somehow, to make up for the fucking neglect. Whatever the deep-seated trauma is from my childhood, I will put myself in situations that I just don't like because it's that important to me to get attention. I mean, that's sort of like the nuts and bolts of it. But
you have a foolproof way of getting attention.
I figured it out.
So bucket list.
Afraid of roller coasters, afraid of fucking bungee jumping, super afraid of skydiving.
Will you ever do it? No.
Well, I already did.
Oh my god.
Okay, but this is the thing. And this is how I explained my way out of every single time that anybody ever asked me if I've been skydiving, do I want to go skydiving? And this is going back close to two decades.
Sure.
Close to two decades. Anytime anybody asked me about skydiving, I always said, fuck no, I'm not doing that. Everybody does that. Fucking grandmas do that, you know? And I almost reeled it off like a fucking script every time I said, you know, like, grandmas do that. If I ever go skydiving, you know, the first time you got to have the tandem skydive instructor on your back. You're not allowed to just do it on your own the first time.
Right.
You got a dude strapped on your back. So if I ever do it, I'm going to be butt fucking naked in the airplane, furiously fucking jacking off, right, to like some kind of fucking porno or whatever, right? And like at the point of no return,
or just a cloud that looks like tits.
At the point of no return, like maybe right after the first fucking after the first squirt,
yeah.
I'm gonna time it so I fall out of the airplane while blowing a load. I call the idea skyjacking. Have you guys
Wait, I think Steven Seagal was in that movie. Wasn't he in that?
Harrison Ford was too.
The special that you guys just watched, right? Yeah. The one that I'm currently selling or attempting to sell. When I taped it, I'm in the theater, and like I'm coming through the crowd. I'm gonna dive on the stage, it's about to happen.
Yep.
I'm behind the bar at the back of the theater, right, about to make my grand entrance, and this kid spots me. He's like, yo, Steve-O. And I'm like focused. I'm like, not now, man. Not fucking now, dude. Yeah. And I'm ignoring the kid. And then he says, dude, you gotta go skydiving, man. I'm a professional skydiver. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is too important. Right? You know, because I know what's coming next. It's like, I've already got it kind of mapped out. I know that this needs to happen. So I go and talk to this kid, like at the worst possible timing. I'm talking to him on the other side of the bar, tell him the whole idea. The kid looks at me, he goes, dude, you can totally come all over me.
And never have you ever been so happy to hear a man say that to you.
Do you guys ever hit pause? Hit pause.
Okay. All right. That's madness.
Oh, my God.
Dude, this was...
Oh wait. All right. Well, that was.
Are we?
Oh my god.
Are we allowed to describe what we just saw?
Sure.
Dude. First of all, I didn't. So many questions because I was like, I mean, there's a camera crew in there. There's dudes.
Camera crew.
The guys you're holding on to. Right. The guys. The guy that's holding on to you.
Your
wind.
Putting it together in the first place was one of the most like challenging fucking things, especially because when I finally reached out to the guy and told him it's time.
Yeah. Hug this.
Turned out that. The fucking kid who said I could come all over him didn't have a tandem.
Got cum fright?
He was all about the cum, but he didn't have a tandem license, so we had to start from scratch.
Oh.
So you did audition another...
So you had to find some guy.
We started calling skydive companies. And it's like, yeah, we got this. Steve-O wants to jack off in your plane. Every fucking company says no. You know?
We should have just cold called people and be like, hello, sir. My name's Diane. Are you happy with your Sprint service? And also, would you let television star Steve-O jerk off on you?
Well, it wasn't about looking for the instructor at this point. We were back to the drawing board. We were looking just at companies.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. We were like, you know, we want to do this. And so that just didn't work. And then I go on my social media and I'm like, hey, everybody, I'm looking for a tandem guy. Gotta have a license. We get 72 of them.
Wow.
Then
that's amazing.
Then we tell them the idea. And like,
and then you have zero.
They're like, oh, yeah, I'll take his guy. No.
Dude, we only lost 52. We had 20 willing dudes. Wow. So we had to narrow it down to the most enthusiastic guy.
That is, by the way, you know how like The Bachelor will do like a recap episode and bring back all the contestants? There needs to be an episode or something where you bring the other 20 guys and you interview them and like, just like,
if there's a rose ceremony for The Bachelor, what the fuck do you do
like
for
the
this?
The 20 dudes that were willing but didn't get the chance.
Just throw a cup of jizz on them and
thanks for
Will you accept this cup of jizz? Yes, okay.
From beginning to end, it was such an incredible thing, man. So we narrowed it down to this, like, we were looking for enthusiasm and geography, like convenience. So this place in Northern California, one of the guys who responded, and he's so stoked, like skydiving in Davis, California, just out of Sacramento, holds the record for the most naked skydive jumps. The place is like a borderline fucking nudist colony. It's a resort.
Yeah.
It's not never colonies are for lepers and ants.
Sure. So it's a resort for naked people that
basically it's a
love
resort.
To have their genitals get blown on by 500-mile-an-hour
so
winds.
We get up there. The fucking dude cannot keep his pants on. The dude is just, he is so itching to strip down to his tiger print Speedo. Right.
Wait, and you're like, hey, I'm supposed to be the one naked, not you.
Well, I was like, that helps. I mean, I took 4 dick pills.
Yeah.
And I bought a porno. I'm thinking that this is going to be so easy because I haven't jacked off to porno in like forever. You know, like as part of my like sex addict shit. You know, I want to have a healthy relationship. Porno is not good for that.
Yeah.
So here I'm going
to. So you really wanted to like come in with a full load.
Oh, dude, I didn't jack off before. I didn't have sex for 4 days.
What was that like?
In the past, I've gone way longer than that.
Oh, okay.
But I think 4 days is, that's, after that, I think you don't, like, your body starts to deal. You're not going to have more than 4 days is as much you're going to build.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I think that's as big as the load is ever going to get, gotcha. Which is why I went 4 days.
Wow.
So, I'm thinking it's going to be so easy to jack off because, you know, I haven't watched porn in so long. This is like a batch of strange coming my way, and I'm thinking it's just going to be so easy. But we get in the airplane. I'm strapped on the dude. He's fucking pulling the straps tight. I just feel his dick and balls just cramming right in my ass crack.
Yeah, so what'd you need the porn for?
There's 9 dudes in the plane. They're all pointing fucking cameras at me.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, and on top of that...
Yeah.
I had to fucking thread a needle like I had to time the load
right
within a window of 2 minutes because
if
we fall out of this airplane before the 2 minute window or after the 2 minute window, then we miss the drop zone. The timing had to be like there's a green light on in the plane for
telling you when to go.
Well, the light's on for the 2 minutes that it's okay to jump. And so I'm like, okay, fucking tell me like a minute before the 2 minute window starts. I'm giving myself 3 minutes. And so I'm like, okay. And I got Preston Lacey's my fluffer, like the big fat dude.
Yeah.
And so he's squeezing the lotion onto my hand. And, you know, they're like, okay, T-minus three. And so we start the porno, which I had queued up
right.
to this epic blowjob, which I thought was going to
just work.
Yeah, yeah.
So I hit play, and it's just not fucking working, dude. I'm like, fuck, you know?
You didn't have any other...
I had to have burned through a minute on that blowjob, and it just wasn't working. So I hit fucking visual fast forward. Mm-hmm. Now I'm jacking.
But you're staying hard at this point.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty
wow.
much. So
with the wind and everything.
Right, it's cold up there too, man. Like 15,000 feet is cold as fuck.
Jesus.
So I hit visual fast forward. Now I'm jacking off to a fucking blowjob in high speed. And that doesn't help at all. No. So then I'm like, fuck, I'm losing all my time, and I got to take a gamble. And I'm fucking okay, fuck it. I roll the dice. I hit skip track. Mm-hmm. Now I'm fucking looking at the whole screen is this woman's asshole with a huge fucking butt plug up in there. And like, you know, dude, I've shoved a lot of things up my butt, but that looked painful, dude. Now I'm losing my boner.
Yeah.
Now I'm losing. I don't have time. I'm losing my boner.
Yeah.
This is when I'm frantically screaming, lube, lube.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm skip track, you know, and the time's just dwindling away, and I'm almost feeling like I'm gonna not pull it off. And then I hit skip track the one time, and I see this big dick come out of the woman's ass. And in one fluid motion, it comes out of her ass, and he hoists it up in the air over her head and down into her mouth. And like just the pure joy on this woman's face. That connected with me, man.
Wow. Right? And now you hit your sweet spot.
And then all of a sudden, I'm like fucking Doc Brown at the end of Back to the Future Part 1.
It's all like, Modi, I'm going to come at 15,000 feet.
Dude, I fucking pulled it together, dude.
Great Scott, when you came and fell out of the plane.
Right as the lightning struck, dude, I pulled it all together.
That is madness.
And as far as a bit, looking exactly the way that I pictured it, like that's the, you know, as far as like the lengths that it took to make it happen, like just how many, like how much was involved, how long it was planned for, it just with, we had a slow motion camera mounted to the fucking airplane, and I cummed right into it. My load caught the wind, and it was splattered into a slow-mo camera.
Also, what you just showed us, I mean, that is all so incredible, but to seeing like, it was imperative for me to still see load being shot as you were falling.
Yeah.
And you do. Right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
the first squirt is on the way out,
mm-hmm.
and the rest I cranked out in free fall.
Even if I hadn't, just seeing you still tugging at it as you're falling, to me is almost like the pat your head, rub your stomach at the same time thing. Sure. I don't know how you focus on both. Because if I'm falling, I'm just so like, I want all my wits about me. I don't want to do anything to throw off the trajectory.
Right.
Or the balance, but like.
Right. I mean.
Do they even say that when you even bring this up? Are you like, is Jerganoff going to like somehow pull us out of a air pocket? Or I don't know. Is there some science to. Yeah.
There wasn't like a.
They're like, it's much safer if a girl plays with her clit than a guy tugging his dick.
Right.
Because the motion is less stressful for the air.
Well, right. Free falling, you generate so much speed. You're going so fast. It's like, is the wind going to rip my dick off? but that wasn't a big thing.
And there was, I can't remember who was in it, but there was some sort of like a porn that was shot. While skydiving, and like the guy lost his pilot license, and like a lot of people,
they were saying that at this place they did free falling 69, and they filmed that.
Wow. So
yeah, dude, sucking.
This is the spot.
Again, let me say this again. Sky dance, skydiving. and my tandem guy, his name was Dago. And I cummed on him. I'm pretty sure I cummed on him.
How many times do you think he's told that story since? At family dinners?
Every day.
Karaoke nights?
Oh, dude, those people were fantastic.
If he's a comic, he's going up to that credit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You've seen him in clubs and colleges and at the end of Steve-O's dick. And ladies and gentlemen.
Wow,
to have a niche. Like that, like we're the skydiving.
I don't think that's ever. I mean, I can't.
Oh, there's no. I'm the world record first skyjacker. Pretty sure.
How does? I mean, in all kidding aside, that's to think that you are the only one to do something like that. That is, it's not just like I took the held my breath for the longest underwater, which would also be impressive, but bad example. But like, I don't know, I ate the most fruit by the foots in 15 minutes. Like something.
I barfed the most on national television.
Like, and then because the point, like, that's there's probably such a high percentage of people that won't even skydive.
Yeah.
Right. There's also a lot of people that will. And it's not that bad. It's really not that bad. The initial fall out of the plane, it feels like the roller coaster, that feeling that we hate.
Yeah.
But in short order, like, you can see, I think that to promote the Mission Impossible movie, Tom Cruise just took James Corden skydiving.
Yeah. I saw that.
And so, like, you can see, and this put me at ease.
Yeah, I guess if Corden did it, I should do it.
This put me at ease, like, big time, because they make you watch footage, like, they cover their legal bases pretty extensively. And they try to, like, show you, like, you know, in exchange for the thrill of skydiving, you are giving up the right to your life and this and that.
Yeah.
But they show you a video that you have to watch, and you see people, like, initially be terrified, and then, like, James Corden, like, all of a sudden, it's not like you're free falling anymore. It's like you're in the fucking indoor skydiving tube.
Yeah, you're just floating. Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's like you're on, like, some kind of an air mattress, you know? Wow. Like, it's not bad at all, dude. Like, the initial exit of the plane, but within like 2 or 3 seconds, all of a sudden, and you can see James Corden all smiling and he's happy. Without blowing the load, like, it's not.
And then you're only free falling for about 10 seconds anyway.
Do you fall faster when you blow the load? Is it almost like, is it like Grandpa Joe and Charlie when they burped and went higher? In Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, that's so funny.
You know what I'm saying?
We free fell for a minute.
For a minute?
A full minute.
That's so
15,000 feet, yeah.
Right?
But again, it's like, whatever, dude.
What do you mean, whatever? Like, whatever in your head of, like...
Like, I refer to the footage of James Corden, like, who going from so scared to all of a sudden, like, just happy and smiling and not in any terror whatsoever as you watch him free fall.
Well, I mean, I asked what's on your bucket list, and I got that as the first thing.
That's the first thing, and that's how I start off...
That's how you start? That's not even your closer?
Well,
it's called the money shot for a reason.
Right. I don't want to shoot the wad in the first 5 minutes. So when I start the act with an example of the bucket list, and then I end off with, you know, so the kid said you can come all over me.
Yeah.
And I got his number.
Dude.
So I got his number, and I kind of leave that there. I got his number, and then sure enough, ran through the crowd, did the show. At the end of the show, I got on my knee and I proposed to my girl.
Oh, wow.
So this is sort of like I'm setting the theme for the bucket list, you know, for the whole show.
Yeah.
The theme is that I'm in my 40s, and I'm going, like, for, like, high-level shit. Because that's all that's left, you know? Like, either at this point, I fucking quit, or shit has to get so fucked up, you know? Because all that's left is the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
The only thing left for me is the bottom of the barrel, the bucket list.
Oh, man.
And everything is so fucking high level that I've actually had the ideas for, in some cases, decades, and it's just too high level to go after, and now I'm pulling out all the stops. And I'm doing it while I'm engaged.
Yeah.
So, like, every item on the bucket list... invariably, because they're all so high level, every bit, like, is somehow, like significant, has, like, a significant, like,
because
there's a tie-in to my relationship in every case, like, particularly skyjacking, like,
because now you're skyjacking for two.
Right, and my girl was not fucking super stoked about me being rock hard, because I would tell her, like, before, she's like, oh, you know, you're showing your dick to the whole world, you know? She's like, that's my dick, and you're showing it to the world.
Whoa,
and
I get that.
And when we first started dating, I was like, yeah, but babe, I'm not, like, hard.
Yeah.
And now I'm fucking hard, and I'm blowing a load, you know? And so she had a tough time with that, and the only thing that really helped was... it was like, okay, babe, you know, like, let's call it my bachelor party. This is my one.
Dude, what a great move, dude.
Right? And, dude, that actually did the trick.
Yeah.
That did the trick. I said, it's my bachelor, because, dude, bachelor party, it's like kind of your free pass.
Yeah, that's stress for the girl, I think, right?
To be kind of wild for one last night.
Right.
And I'm like, and I got to do it before my vows, which sets it up to be really dope for the closer. Yeah. To be like, what it's a my big bachelor. Move. It's my, because I got engaged at the end of the last one, so maybe I get married at the end of the next one.
Yeah.
Who knows? And then that sets this up to be the closer. But like, so from there, I don't know if I'll keep it in at the moment for now, the first real bit. And I do each bit, I tell the story, and then screen the footage of the bit.
Yeah.
That's the format for now on tour.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And this wasn't the case before.
No.
Before, I just edited the footage in after the fact.
Right.
Now, I'm screening.
I think I dig that.
Yeah. It's
just kind of telling it all and then letting you see it.
So there's like legal fucking waivers on the walls.
Right.
The
club, you know? Oh, yeah. You're about to see a man jizz.
Right. Like, you're
be aware.
There's fucking porno. You're going to see shit coming out of my asshole.
Are there new people coming to Steve-O shows, though, that don't have any sort of...
I don't know. I just think America's such a stupid, litigious fucking culture.
Yeah.
That, like, it's almost inevitable that someone's going to be like, yo, I thought I was going to a fucking comedy show. I didn't know I was going to see your fucking dick blowing a load. You know?
Oh, like, my God.
Who knows?
Now, when you come up with stunts now, like you said, like you kind of alluded to, you're an engaged man now, first of all. Mazel tov.
Congrats.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Congrats to you, man. You actually...
I did it. Yeah. I'm done.
You closed the coffin.
I'm closed it. Put the dick away. It's in bed.
It's rad, though, man.
Yeah.
And how... What a treat to be, like... To be sort of in a relationship in integrity and like mm-hmm. and then the Me Too movement happens.
Dude, right? I've said this, like, we are, Steve-O, you and I are guys that walked away from the craps table right before the seven got rolled. Like, that's literally us, where we're like,
I don't know what
you know
the
what
seven means.
That means you crap out. That means it's done. Okay. That means you lose all your money.
So we
literally just were like, you know what, guys, I think I'm good. And then we walked away, and then everybody lost.
We're the guys who pulled our money out of the stock market in 2007.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
We did it.
Like, but then again, it's almost not a good analogy or metaphor because you're accountable for your whole life leading up to now at this
absolutely
point. So,
and we're not trying to make light of victims
of course not,
but we're just saying that now we don't have to date in this in this brave new world. And
yeah, I don't even know that there is an analogy there or a reference, but
we're just doing it for jokes, obviously.
Understood. And I'm not trying to be careful. I'm trying to be like really like
trying to be respectful,
trying to just actually make sense. I think at any point in time, because dude, like, how much time got wasted, how much fucking, you know, it's just such a, when you're constantly trying to fucking get laid and chase all your fucking, you know, all your angles, and
taking away time from things that really need your attention.
And then there's the inevitable, what did I put my fucking dick in? Like, what's going to happen? You're checking your dick.
Which should be a game show you host. What did I put my dick in? Show me peanut butter. Show me a horse's ass.
Oh, my God. But, well, we have to reach out to Tom Bergeron first.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just so grateful for it. But the first bit that I go into, that I screen, and it's a tough bit to start on, is I say it like how, you know, I proposed to my girl, and the reason why I knew I wanted to put a ring on it, it occurred to me as I scratched an item off my bucket list, which I can't believe took so long to happen. Almost 20 years of my Jackass buddies and I doing all this stuff, and nobody ever took a shit on a fan. You know what I mean?
I love how you say it as casually, like a 40-year-old waking up going, wait, I haven't been to Disneyland. Like, that's how you just said, oh yeah, we should take a shit on a fan.
Right, and not like... Not a person who appreciates our art.
Yeah.
You know, the thing with the blades.
Yeah. this isn't a German Scheiser video.
And a lot of people have trouble watching shit, particularly when it's actively coming out of your asshole.
I'm one of them.
Two Girls, One Cup is not in my Netflix queue.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm starting off with them. Because the thing is that I had like all these people in my front yard. I didn't take a shit for 3 days. I consumed more laxatives than can possibly be safe.
What's the maximum that the human body can take?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I just kept going. I think I did the powders, the liquids. Like I fucking did way too much of it. And I'm thinking that all this poop is going to fall out of me like a bucket of soup. Onto the fan, which is huge.
Oh God, that's such a fucking image.
A huge industrial fan pointed straight up, and I'm thinking it's gonna come right back at me. I'm gonna bend over. It's gonna get all over my face. It's gonna be gross and funny, right? And so, like, I got the crew in the fuck. I got the crew in the front yard at my house, like covering this. Mm-hmm. And like, I warmed up peeing on the fan, which was how I pictured it.
Yeah,
it totally. The pee just came right up. It was hilarious.
Well, sure, because when you're doing the other one, the dick's like, well, I know what I do here.
Right. But yeah. So then I poop on it. I got this big dangler. Right, this big dangler comes out, and then when it drops, not only does it not come back up to me, it goes. Doom, boop. Goes flying fucking sideways across the yard, and I got all these people standing around. You know, and they're all, everyone's fucking running for their lives.
What'd you sell tickets?
Dude, they're barfing while they're running.
No.
Oh yeah, everyone's running for the hills while they're barfing. Oh, hey, everyone God. Except for my girl.
And that's how you knew she was
stood,
the one.
She just stood there,
yeah.
Fucking held that camera steady. She's wearing a fucking mini skirt, and at one point she actually says, "Aw, do I have shit in my vagina?"
And you're like, "That's my wife."
Please tell me somebody makes this tells this story at your wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's on camera.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's on camera. I screen it at the show. You hear her say, she goes, "Aw, shit, do I have shit in my vagina?" And
she's once, so fucking cool, man.
Dude, after that one dangler, then all of a sudden it's like the floodgates open. Just boom, 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 you know, vroom, 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 and she's going, "Oh God, oh shit, oh fuck, oh God." And she's just standing there. She's just standing there filming it. She's awesome, dude.
Hey, I mean,
somebody call Spielberg. I mean, like,
I've read it in 1,000 Hallmark cards. If a woman can watch you literally shit into a fan, that's the woman you spend your rest of your life
with. Right.
Dude, that's incredible. Hey, this blind support from her, how much does that truly mean for what you're doing?
Well, dude, now I'm going into a really fucking dark one.
Now
I'm going into a really dark one, like scheduled for the end of this month.
Oh yeah,
and I got my fucking crew, my girl, my dude Scott Randolph, like getting cold feet, being like,
"Are you allowed to say what it is?"
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. It's the General Anesthesia Olympics.
The Anesthesia Olympics.
Yeah.
So what are you trying to be knocked out for the longest amount of time?
No. I'm trying to perform Olympic sports with general anesthesia drugs in my veins. Like,
so you're gonna. Get to the point of going under?
Initially, the idea was, back in the Wild Boys days, the tranquilizer dart foot race.
Yeah.
Right?
This is the weirdest Mad Libs ever.
Yeah.
The tranquilizer dart foot race, and like, so it's like on your mark, set, go, and then you shoot the darts into our butt cheeks, we start sprinting. You know, whoever gets the farthest for distance wins, whoever, you know. But the thing is that and I love the idea because, like, for all the trophy hunter fuck faces, you know, who kill the animal, they get their douchey photo.
Right.
If they would just, you can buy a tranquilizer dart gun. Mm-hmm. If they would just do that, shoot the fucking animal with a dart, take your douchey photo, and then let the thing wake up and live.
Right. Cool.
So I really wanted to do it with the tranquilizer dart to further that message, mm-hmm. you know, to put that out there, like trophy hunter fuck faces use tranquilizer darts, and we've got this great bit,
yeah.
you know. And so I really extra believe in that. And but the thing is that for these animals, it takes 20 to 30 minutes to take effect.
Oh wow!
So like, I'm not trying to run a marathon.
No,
you know, it's like we don't have time to watch this happen slowly. So it's got to be. And the thing is, even if you change the drug and you put like a different kind of drug in the dart, still it's going to be an intramuscular injection.
What does that mean?
You know, you can't shoot. You're not going to ever shoot a dart out of a gun and perfectly get a vein and inject into the vein.
See. Okay.
Intramuscular means like you put it in the muscle, like right. they shoot it into your arm or your butt cheek.
Yeah.
Whereas like an IV goes into your
blood vein and it's
intravenous.
There. Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's got to be intravenous. And once so it's like, okay, it's no longer going to be a dart. Now it's going to be an IV. Mm-hmm. And the drug needs to be like general anesthesia mm-hmm. drug. So I pictured, and I went on the, you probably saw on my Instagram, if you follow me, like, yo, I'm looking for a fucking anesthesiologist for a stunt. And so we start talking to anesthesiologists, and it's like, okay, here's what I want to do. I want to have a fucking IV in my arm. I want to be on a bicycle. You put the fucking drug in, mm-hmm. like, that's going to completely knock me out.
You started the stunt or the sport.
Well, I'll be awake, the IV's, and then they plunge in the... We figured it out. We talked to enough of these people that we figured
how
out
how much you can do.
20 milligrams of etomidate will like knock me the fuck out to where they have to like likely have to. It's called intubate me and breathe for me. Like,
dude. And like, so, what, like, I put a tube down your throat.
Right. But we've really researched. We've developed the idea pretty well. Like, we're at a point where Dr. Drew's cool with it.
Well, okay.
To be honest, that matters a lot, though.
Right, and so like, you know, it's like, okay, when they plunge the drug.
What about Dr. Phil?
when they plunge the drug into the IV,
yeah.
then that'll give me roughly 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Maybe 15, but probably 10 seconds until I'm completely out to fucking pedal the bicycle as fast as possible. Right?
And that's going to be so fucking funny.
I'm not trying to have to pedal too much. I want to be on grass on an incline so that like I'm going downhill.
Yeah.
So I just fucking, I'm just, so
asleep, fall off the bike and just.
Oh, dude, asleep, just fucking. 100% unconscious, fucking
trying to stay awake though, right? You're gonna be battling it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, but I mean, there's no battling. Adam, have you had surgery where you've been knocked out?
Yes.
Yeah. Whenever they would do it to me, where they would just say
countdown.
All right, countdown from 10, and I would get to nuh.
And then wake up
out.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah. like you're.
But okay. Yeah. So here's the thing. Now I went to visit Knoxville because I'm so fucking excited about this. I'm thinking this idea is so top notch mm-hmm. that I should do it. Like I've got a Jackass dude in every bit. You know, that. Like the vasectomy party, I have Pontius dressed up as the nurse. You right. know,
well, sure. Coming back to that.
Yeah, like I've got.
I think I rented vasectomy party.
Yeah,
on VHS.
Right.
Wait. Okay.
So
vasectomy party, the first cut. Sorry, yeah. I had to do it. Had to do it.
Whoa.
Yeah. So Dave England's in the fan because he's like the Michelangelo of shit.
Yeah, he's the shit guy.
So
how many?
So I go to Knoxville and I'm like, dude, you're like on a bike, general anesthesia. You know, I'm like, it's pretty high level. We're probably gonna have to shoot it in Mexico. Looking like we're gonna need to get the drugs off the dark web, and someone's medical license is gonna be in jeopardy.
Go. Is that all?
Knoxville says. He says, I like it. You know, he says, I think that that's going to be all you, not because I'm afraid or there's just like giving Johnny Knoxville a bunch of drugs isn't very novel.
right.
I disagree. I think it's great. But, and I think it's almost Clash of the Titans because like my drug history and his drug history leaves us both like, you know, like top ranked fighters.
Are you worried at all that like, that like you're on a hill and you, because when you fall, you're unconscious.
It won't be too much of a hill. I don't have a neck brace to make sure that.
Okay,
like, you know,
I was going to ask about that.
I'm gonna cover the bases.
Yeah, you're gonna have like a Hans device that the NASCAR drivers wear. Essentially.
Yeah, oh yeah, like that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, just want to make sure.
For sure. So Knoxville tells me, and bless his heart. As soon as I told him, first I went to Dr. Drew, and he says, by the time we got done talking, he says, I got to admit, that's fucking good. And he said, and he also
said, so he didn't try to talk you out of it.
He didn't try to talk me out of it at all. He says, that's fucking good. And he also said, you've done your research, like you've thought this through, like, you know, I think you're going to be fine. I'm not glad you're doing it, you know, I believe, you know, he says, like, you know, please let me know once you've done it and you're safe, but I think you're going to be fine. Knoxville didn't try to talk me out of it. It wasn't like phased at all. He's like, yeah, it's good, but those are a lot of lengths to go to for a moment. You know, like that might or might not work. Who knows how the bicycle thing goes?
Right.
He says, why instead of going straight for the 20 milligrams, which is an induction dosage, induction meaning induced into full paralysis, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He says, why don't you start off with like 5 milligrams and juggle some hammers?
Not a bad
dude,
idea.
So I'm like, yeah, dude, bless your heart, Knox. You're so right. And when we found the person who
will administer it,
the person who's gonna make it all go down. Yeah. So fucking stoked to never reveal what country that person is from.
Sure.
Say it. It's a doctor from The Simpsons.
Right. It's an alien that's going to come down. It's an actual extraterrestrial.
Hi, Steve-O. I'm Dr. Nick.
An extraterrestrial is going to abduct me and take me out of the galaxy.
Yeah. I mean, are you even allowed to say if you're doing it in this country?
I'm not saying shit about that.
Okay.
But I will say that that we got it right, the drug.
Good.
Like, everybody's on the same page, because particularly, like, the most commonly used drug for surgery is called propofol, which everybody knows.
That's the Michael Jackson drug.
Michael Jackson drug.
But he was using it to sleep.
Correct.
Not for anesthesiology, not for surgery, to sleep.
Correct. And a less than induction dosage of propofol brings about a state that's referred to as twilight, where you're not unconscious, you're just heavily buzzed, and
dreaming of Robert Pattinson.
Dude, and Jesus. I didn't understand, because I have an esophageal condition, and I've had plenty of surgeries. So like with the endoscopies and the surgeries, I've had like plenty of general anesthesia. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure always been propofol. The first time after I got sober that I had an endoscopy and they used propofol, I came to in tears. I was sobbing, and they were like, "What's wrong?" And I was crying. I said, "Feeling like this ruined my life."
Oh shit!
Because it felt so fucking good, I wasn't even know what was going on. I was just crying because I felt like I had relapsed. You know, I was on drugs. I loved it so much. I loved the feeling.
Oh my god!
And when I put it on my social media to say like anesthesiologists. And we had like 5 back-to-back conference calls the next day to really look into it. You know, like describing it to these people as a hypothetical thing.
Yeah,
that right. I want to like.
Oh, people were reaching out like, "What's going on?"
Right, and so we were like, you know, I was like, "Hey guys, this is just consider this. We're trying to do legitimate research for a fictional stand-up comedy routine."
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, wink, wink, wink. And so we got everybody comfortable talking about it, and it turns out that among anesthesiologists. The level of abuse of the drug propofol is so high. Like, these guys can get their hands on it, and like an alarming percentage of them do. Like, wow. Recreationally, just give themselves propofol. Like, it is like that epidemic is scale. In the profession of anesthesiologists, it is like epidemic proportions. They are abusing propofol. Just like Michael Jackson.
For people who are in the hospitals.
No. Oh, for themselves.
The doctors
They're addicted to it themselves. There is a substance of abuse. The anesthesiologists are treating themselves to propofol like way more than you could even.
Oh, but man. Maybe not to the level MJ's doing.
I don't know what percentage, and I don't know, like, you know, or anything. But this just came up in conversations with anesthesiologists.
Holy
now,
shit.
To the point where it's like, oh, wow, like, fuck, that's scary. I'm like, I don't want to lose my sobriety.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, even when I go get the hardware out of my ankle, I don't want fucking propofol. I don't ever want that shit ever again.
Yeah.
And Dr. Drew was talking about a drug called Versed, which I know that when I was throwing my temper tantrum in the psych ward, and then they put the needle in my butt cheek and I took a nap, that was Versed.
Okay.
But that's benzos, like Valium.
Oh, right.
That Valium, like ketamine, shit, like all that mixed up. Like shit that's just, I don't want any part of. So the drug to use is called etomidate. It's the best drug for so many reasons. Number one being that it's most fast acting. Like it takes effect the fastest, and it wears off the fastest. It's also not pleasant whatsoever. Like these doctors they refer to it as vomidate because it's so unpleasant that it makes you barf.
So you're not going to
hurt my cause at all.
Yeah, but also you're not going to get addicted to that.
Correct. Correct. Right. It's not going to be a threat to my sobriety.
Now, what works quicker and more effectively, etomidine or
etomidate?
Etomidate, or you said it's fast acting. Is it more fast acting than fast acting tenactin? Sorry.
Yeah, etomidate. And so
who's the one person friend or family member that got in that spoke up, that was like, I don't know about this one and how much
you're gonna be putting... family doesn't know about this one.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, I don't. Your dad is right behind that door. Come on out. Come on out, Mr. O.
Yeah, no, I don't want to terrorize my family with.
Let them see the finished product.
I made the mistake of telling them about the opening sequence for the Gnarly comedy special before taping it.
Yep.
Before taping it.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I can say, I don't want to spoil it for people, but yeah.
Another thing you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm. Never for a special or anything.
And I fucked up by telling my dad what the opening sequence for the bucket list is.
Oh, really?
What'd you show him the video?
Well, no, I haven't taped that yet, but that's like, I have a billboard already designed. And so I want to. The opening sequence finds me in an airplane, climbing out of the airplane down a rope ladder. The airplane flies over the billboard. My body crashes through the billboard. It's made out of balsa wood, so that's pretty mellow. It's more of a sight gag.
Yeah.
But then, like, still on the rope ladder, and the plane comes in, all in the desert, to a runway where a truck paces the plane, and we release me from the rope ladder. I drop into the truck, and then the truck delivers me to the theater.
This is like, you played the game Mousetrap, and then was like, I'm going to do this with trucks and planes.
Dude.
That's
madness. It's on, man. I'm so excited. But
you should cut the footage of Wile E. Coyote just being like, fucking, this guy's crazy.
It's tough, dude. That we're having the most trouble with the opening sequence because, like, we're really going to need, like, an FAA permit, I think. Yeah. And, like, insurance is just like...
Can you do it with a helicopter?
I could, and they've told me that the helicopter is so fucking easy that, like, anything attached to the helicopter is just normal. Yeah. We don't need any special insurance. But I can't fucking cave in. I can't give up because, to me, a helicopter, universally, like, you conjure an image of a helicopter, the fucking thing is hovering.
Yeah.
You don't think of it. An airplane, you think of that fucking thing. In order to be in the air, it has to be straight hauling ass forward. Like, right. You know, I can't, like, a helicopter, sure, you could probably get a helicopter to go.
I would hate to be your insurance agent.
Right.
Every time your name pops up on the caller ID, he's like, fuck, is this going to be?
I think it'd be the other way around. It's like, wow, this call won't be boring, and it's
Yeah.
Like this one.
So vasectomy party. What other ones can you tell us that? Well, I want to leave some of them for.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll leave the. But I'm so fucking excited because it's the General Anesthesia Olympics. So
it's a bunch.
So the thing is, we start off with 2.5 milligrams of etomidate, and so like 2.5, like it won't knock me out, but it'll impair me.
Yes.
So how do I do with pole vaulting? You know, because it's the Olympics.
Yeah.
So it's like pole vaulting at 2.5 milligrams.
Hurdling?
And then hurdling. I was thinking long jump, but yeah. Yeah.
Well, based on what you've told me on etomidate, it's going to be hurdling.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, you're right. Fuck the long jump. I'll go hurdle.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah, hurdle. So go pole vault. And then 5 milligrams hurdles. Yeah. And then 10 milligrams bicycle.
By the way, long jump though is so funny. So you try to jump.
Right. Maybe we'll
you got to. Yeah. Okay. Just the run and the build up to that is so amazing.
You're right.
You'll slow down and you'll slow down and your body will still be doing that.
Chariots of Fire will be playing. Da, da, na, na,
right. na, you don't have to put it in slow mo.
Yeah. No, it's still there.
Right.
Still
doing So let's figure this out. 2.5 is pole vault.
Yeah.
5 milligrams is hurdles.
Yeah.
10 milligrams is long jump.
Yeah.
Did I say bicycle yet?
No.
15 milligrams bicycle.
Yeah. Any shock put in there?
Nah, shock put just promises too boring. Too much.
Yeah.
Like, and then bicycle, and then for the 20 milligrams, rhythmic gymnastics.
Oh my God. Ribbon dancing. Oh. As long as you wear one of those singlets, we're good.
But now the battle becomes, and we had this conversation with the person that can make it happen, and we had like, and this person's completely comfortable with the whole thing. You know, this is what they do, wow. And they're like, this is just too great. It's got to happen. You know, but what wasn't clear, what I heard, is that it's fast acting. It wears off super quick. So, okay, 2.5 millimeter, you know, and then whatever, I'm like, and I snap out of it, I'm back, you know? Mm-hmm. Even if I'm induced, you know, even if they have to intubate me, then whatever, I'd like within 5 to 10 minutes of Weekend at Bernie's. That's now, the best part of the whole idea.
Have you
Weekend at Bernie's.
Have you tried this at all in terms of just to see, like, how long you'll have? Like, have you been injected with... I think 25 milligrams or 50 milligrams?
I haven't. And that's why I like doing the small dosages and then working our way up is the key.
Oh, yeah.
But what my girl was trying to tell me today, she says, well, what I heard is that we got to hurry up because we're just going to add another 2.5 milligrams to the dosages that you've just... And I'm like, no. I'm like, no, it wears off. We start from scratch.
Yeah,
we do
yeah.
2.5, it wears off, and then we give me 5.
Yeah.
And then it wears off, and then... We give me fucking yeah. 7.5.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah,
you just
yeah.
Right.
Because
she's like, well, no, my girl's thinking that's why I'll die because so much will accumulate. I'm like, no, they fucking keep they keep this shit coming so that the operation, they do these open reduction surgeries, they're screwing shit together. Mm-hmm. Like they got to keep pumping yeah. pumping that
also,
shit in there.
I'm sure they've also disclosed with you like it will wear off after a certain amount of time, right?
Yeah. It's going to be fine. It's got to be. Like yeah. this is where
yeah.
the loved ones are like sure. This is where the loved ones are pushing back and so we've got a where we've got one, like we're going back on the rounds of the anesthesiologist conference calls that we had initially to come back, but we're getting pretty close. It's like negotiating a contract. Yeah. You know, we're getting close to closing the deal.
Has your fiance ever said no to a stunt? Ever said like no, you're not, you're just not doing that?
Like I'll leave you.
There's one, but she can't say no. But the one that she really put up a fight on, and I love this one so much. Like, I'm on that fucking, and this is the newest item on the list. Like okay. everything else is like a pretty age old thing, which I'm finally getting to, which is why it's so like fucking just cool, you know? Because it's really like. All true and organic. This one's a new idea. Like about 1 year ago, I'm in Peru where I found the dog Wendy.
Yeah Wendy, that which is an incredible video, by the way.
Thank you.
I watched it, and if people follow you on some social media, they might see you with the German Shepherd and go, oh, he went to the pound and got a dog.
Right.
Not exactly.
Yeah.
Peruvian
sort
street
of,
dog.
But not at all.
Yeah.
Found her in the streets of Peru. She's a star.
Yeah.
And so I was, you know, up in the mountains with Wendy and Chuck Liddell and, you know, this cast. And I'm like checking out Chuck's ear and he's just cool. And I'm like, because, you know, the cauliflower ear.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have
Thick
to be a
ears.
Fight fanatic to know right. how the cauliflower ear works.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and yeah, blood in there.
So I say it. It's more than that. It's like just straight cartilage. Yeah. Like your whole ear becomes
it's hardened.
Your whole ear. It's so cool. And I'm like, dude, Chuck, do you think you could give me cauliflower ear? And he's like, he says, dude, if anybody else asked me that, I'd say that's fucked up. But for you, Steve, oh, yeah, I'll do that. I'm like, yes. But I'll go, but doesn't it take like years? Isn't this like, doesn't it take fucking. Mm-hmm. He says, no, if I pop you with the right shot, we can get it in one go.
Oh like, my God.
I'm like, this is the fucking greatest shit ever.
Yeah.
Like, fuck yeah. So I call up my girl. I'm like, babe, Chuck Liddell's going to give me cauliflower ear. Isn't that awesome? She's like, no. I'm like, what are you talking about? That rules. She says,
I don't think you heard me. Yeah.
She says, babe, I love you. I'm attracted to you. I don't want your ear to look fucked up. Now, and I'm like, just straight up, we're gonna have a problem.
Now, here's your defense, Steve-O, if she's attracted to you with a giant tattoo of a 24-year-old Steve-O giving the double thumbs up, and she's still fucking you after that thing,
yeah,
then I don't think the ear's gonna stop her.
Right.
You'd be surprised, though. Have you fucked somebody with a fucked up ear?
I mean,
I'm not gonna say that on.
All right, wrong two people to ask that.
We did it at the same time.
Yeah. He thought I was me, man. It was for a stunt.
Oh my god.
Yeah, we shared. We shared
that pause, and you guys just something happened in that moment. Wait. So
Okay. So here's. I think this is one of the funniest premises for stand-up. That, you know, around this bit. And I love how, like, everything ties back to the relationship through the whole act. Mm-hmm. But, like, what my girl doesn't understand, outside of just the sheer comedy of, like, getting cauliflower ear because you want it.
Yeah.
You know, that, to me, is just fucking genius. It's just so fucking genius. Like, nobody wants it, you know, except for me. And I love that. But the thing is that, like, the premise that's really, I think, clever and fucking so funny, and I want the laugh to be significantly bigger when I say this, you know, on stage. But, I mean, it gets a laugh. It's just not the level of laugh I feel like it deserves. Mm-hmm. Is that what my girl doesn't understand when she's trying to push back on me getting cauliflower, what she doesn't get is that when a man, any man, sees another man with cauliflower ear, he respects that man.
Yeah,
you know, like,
because,
like,
we know that that
man is not to be fucked with. That's like a concealed weapons permit, dude.
Right? It basically is, because you know that guy probably got that through wrestling, MMA,
you know, that
some
that
sort
guy,
of combat,
right?
And
you automatically fucking respect that guy, and that's all in the world that anybody wants is love and respect. You know, and my girl's damn well not getting in the way of me fucking
getting your respect on.
So, and dude, this idea is just so glorious too, because, like, secretly I don't want it to work in one go, because I want more UFC legends to pile up on one ear, and then once it's looking really cool, then I want Mike Tyson to chew on the other ear to catch it up.
Oh my god, dude.
I mean, I don't know, like,
yeah, you have to, but also you can't.
You gotta reach the stars, man.
That's what they meant when they said that.
That's the PSA.
Yeah,
but you also do, and you have to try to top yourself and think outside the box like that, otherwise you'll condition your brain to think in a box, right?
Right. Sure. So, but the thing is, like, it's got to be one fun session with Chuck, and, like, I'm trying to think. He's just good to go. He's ready at any time. And the only reason that I haven't pulled the trigger is because I want the creative to be really solid. You know, like, how do we do it? Like, we're sensitive to, like, the culture of paranoia, whatever, like, you know, concern about the concussions with the football players, the CTE. Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, nobody, even for me and my audience, like just blatantly getting punched, hit in the head to try to get cauliflower ear, that's gonna, like, it's gonna take the funny out of it. So we have to be careful about, like, just really setting out to grind the ear rather than, like, really hit the head.
Yeah, because
so we need to reinforce the ear with something, put something behind the ear, and then sort of hit it into that. So whatever, like, just the logistics of how to go after the ear. I need to put something behind it, and then I'm thinking, okay, all right, whatever. So we can, provided something's behind it, then we can hit it. Yeah. And then, but how do we hit it? Like, just Chuck, like, hitting it, grinding his head on it. Like, you know, it's almost too macho, you know? Like, it needs to be silly for it to be really funny. So I think, like, where I landed today on it is, how about an amusement park theme where we've got, like, big old Chuck Liddell, like, in a little bumper car, you know, and he drives a bumper car into something that, like, sticks out and, like, you know, it hits it, or, like, him on a fucking like a big plastic big wheel, like, riding over my ear somehow.
Can he hit the mallet onto the thing?
Strongman mallet. That fucking put that on the list this morning.
Yeah,
but the thing is, he can't.
I should have been a jackass guy.
But the thing is that he can't hit the hammer on my ear where it's got. I have to be at the top of the bell, so my ear is the bell.
Right.
So he hits it.
Oh god.
So he hits it, like, and it goes bump. And that's ringing the bell as it hits my ear.
Yeah.
Which is borrowing from Jackass, what we did with the dildo and the band butt in Jackass number 2. But I think it's an appropriate nod. Yeah. I'm happy with that.
It's an homage.
Yeah, and it's an homage.
Dildo
in the butt.
My favorite one is Whack-A-Mole, where you have all the moles popping up, but then my ear pops
out. I mean, that's a hilarious vision.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so like, it's just a matter of pulling that together. And
that's amazing that you're doing the grinding thing, because I wrestled in high school, and yeah, guys wouldn't get it from blunt trauma. They would get it from being dragged over the mat and grinded into the mat and sweat and all that combining.
Right. And when I met John Jones.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because, like, two guys that just don't like each other, Chuck Liddell and John Jones. And they're the only two guys I've actually talked to about this idea.
Oh,
they're
man.
Both down.
Wow.
You know? And I was saying to John Jones, I was like, man, I think that's testimony to how good you really are, is that I don't see that you have cauliflower ear. And he said, wrong on two counts. He says, I totally fucking have it, and you don't get it by getting your ass kicked. You get it by motherfucking kicking ass.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you get it, by dominating motherfuckers is how you get it, is what he said.
Yeah.
And he's totally down. But again, like, I just want to be careful that it's not too macho. Like, it's just, it would just be kind of like dark and what do you call it? Wanton, you know? Like, wanton fucking self-harm. And it's got to be cute and funny.
Right.
Wow.
It's, man.
I've never been more excited to see.
it's so fun that I have the one in the can and this one's just coming together in epic
fashion.
Fuck
yeah, dude.
And it's ridiculous, and I want people to know that when they see your name, if they haven't seen the show already, when people see your name on an improv or a funny bone or whatever, they think, why would I want to go watch the Jackass guy do stand up? First of all, you've been putting in your time, and secondly, you've created a show. This is an experience.
Oh, yeah.
This is not.
It's not a money grab.
No,
it's not.
No, this is not you touring the country and then.
And
ripping
then I
people
started
off
with every intention of just becoming a stand-up.
Yeah,
and not that. It went badly. Like, I mean, I did fantastically well. I continue to go around the same loop that we all go around.
Yep.
You know, like, I'm going back to places for like the fifth and sixth time. Because,
yep. Are your audiences growing?
It just depends.
Still certain markets,
like,
right?
During the winter, you kill. During the summer,
you don't
fully sell out. You know,
yeah, everyone's out doing their thing.
But 2000, this year, I just took off. You know, like, I've been filming these bits, and I've been doing local spots at the Comedy Store, the Improv, the Laugh Factory, just putting together the little chunks. So I put in the work, and I got, like, when I go out on this tour, it's at Irvine, and I just switched agents too. So now I'm with CAA. And Irvine was my last gig with the old agent, and I'd start doing a whole string of funny bones and shit.
Well,
fuck yeah, dude.
I'll tell you, man, whenever I go to a club, I always ask the managers. I say, hey, who are your favorite comics? Who are your least favorite comics? I won't say the name of the least favorites because they the same five guys always pop up. But you frequently pop up on the favorites because you're so nice to the staff. You're great to your fans. You take photos with everybody. You have your whole merch like thing like set up like a fucking pro. And yeah, you have good reports all over the country. No one says, "Oh God, Steve-O came to town. He was like no one says
that." Man, I care about that too.
Yeah.
I really care about
it. Matters.
Like, how many comics show up with like an entourage of people that are just a fucking nightmare to deal with?
Yeah.
And I only ever have one dude that just makes everybody's job so easy.
There you go. And man, I've seen your current special that you're shopping around, and I'm already excited for this next one. This is unbelievable.
Oh, dude, I am amped.
Do you have any ideas where you'd shoot it yet or no?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So
putting it all
You got to see if you can do the long jump first.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? I haven't even done
yeah, maybe,
the long jump.
Yeah, maybe you can't move from there. Maybe you shoot it in the pile of sand that your face is stuck.
What is a Steve-O wedding going to look like?
I'm so glad you asked.
Has she banned stunts from the wedding?
No.
Are you jumping into your cake?
We don't.
Is Brad jumping out of it?
Yeah.
We don't have a date.
Okay.
Because we don't give nearly as much of a fuck about when we get married as we do about where we get married.
Okay.
And so much great stand-up material comes from the bucket list item of the vasectomy party, you know, stemming from the fact that for both of us, it's non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Like, no fucking kids.
Yeah.
She doesn't want kids. I don't want kids. I always wanted to do the vasectomy thing. And dude, there's so much funny shit about that. But but because we don't want to have kids, like, we're not going to have a family, what we want is to buy land and open up initially just a private ranch for, for all rescue animals, farm animals, and ultimately
tell me about
have
this.
It become a non-profit, a 501c3 non-profit animal sanctuary.
Hey, that's what Stern did. Stern and his wife have one of those.
Cool, man.
Yeah, just this whole big ranch that all
it's,
these
it's,
all
it's
these
a rad idea, man. And I mean, this idea is so fucking deep. It's so invested. Like, I have a nephew who both has autism and Down syndrome, and in both cases, autism and Down syndrome, he's got it like severely, like high on the spectrum. Fuck. To where, like, he next month turns 11 years old, still nonverbal, doesn't say a fucking word,
you know.
And like, he tends to break shit a lot, you know, like, he's just like really requires supervision, like, around the clock.
You've posted stuff with him on your social media,
right? And he's grown to a size now that it's not possible for to find a daycare that will take him, because when he goes around breaking shit, like, he can break shit pretty good now.
And you also probably break kids.
Right. So my sister's in a position where she can only really work from home, which she does, but her like the nature of her job is a little bit tenacious, and who's gonna know, who knows how long she's gonna be able to have it. And on top of that, and so now it's like, okay, fuck. Like, I don't even want to have kids in the fucking first place, let alone, like, Dylan. You know, Dylan's a lot.
She said if anything happens...
If anything happens to her, I become the legal guardian.
Wow.
She had both of her kids by artificial insemination, so there never was a father in the first place. So if anything happens to my sister, she's a single mom by choice. There's nobody in the picture that responsibility can fall on except for me.
Yeah.
So I said to her, I said, well, there's no one else that makes sense, you know, for. And then, like 20 milligrams of etomidate wouldn't hit me as fast as the panic that fucking rushed in, like, fuck, you know? And so then I'm trying to think, like, I can't deal with this. I'm not cut out for it. It's not that I'm a bad person. I can't do it.
Hey, but good good for you for realizing that, because there's so many people that I think in their hearts know they're going to be a bad parent, but they go, but it's what I'm supposed to do.
I think I'd be a reasonably good parent, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't even want to test it. Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
And definitely I can't take care of Dylan. So the only recourse that I had was to start researching life insurance. And I'm thinking, all right, like, life insurance, if I pay for the policy and then anything happens to my sister, then the insurance policy pays out and a mechanism kicks in where he goes into, like, a home.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I've taken the responsibility to ensure that he's cared for, but I don't have to actually fucking do anything except pay for the insurance.
Right.
So I told this to my sister, like, I don't know, about a year ago. And she starts crying. She starts crying. She says, don't put him in a home. And so then when I start thinking about the animal sanctuary, here my sister has this, like, Herculean fucking, like, task of caring for, like, single mom, two kids, fucking this. It's some Hercules shit, you know? It's some Hercules shit. And if I get this, when we get this land and when we're running this ranch and we have, like, a volunteer staff of people to care for the animals, like, it just makes sense that this volunteer staff / paid staff, you know, can help my sister. If my sister were to move in and take an administrative role, she's, like, totally administrative.
Nice.
I'm creative. She's administrative.
Yeah.
You know, like, if she were to run the animal sanctuary, she'd have meaningful income. You know, like, if it's working in, you know, in success, this this nonprofit organization. She could be the administrator of it. That solves any career problems she has. The burden of caring for Dylan is taken care of because we've got a village of people to help her, so she can actually fucking breathe. The load on her shoulders is lightened. She can actually have a fucking life. And then, like, in success, I use my platform, and, like, we've got, like, fucking, it's the Radical Ranch. It's not just an animal sanctuary. It's the Radical Ranch. We've got, like, fucking go-karts. We've got, like, all this crazy fun shit. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, a destination for people to come, and all of the people coming to visit, like, it oils the machine. It grows. It becomes bigger. And what starts out as, like, a bed and breakfast, sort of Airbnb, you know, for people visiting to stay, it turns into a legitimate home for people with special needs. It grows into an animal sanctuary as well as a home for people with special needs, just like my nephew Dylan. So it becomes the insurance policy. If anything happens to my sister, we've got this self-sufficient fucking, like, you know, it's his fucking this place that lives where he can live and that he's taken care of, and you don't need insurance, and it becomes a legacy that makes all of my fucking idiotic reckless fuckery like at the end of the day it was worthwhile, you know, and that's my legacy. And so that's what I want to have a rad legacy. I want to instead of having a family, I want to have this. And I want to, like, sort of retroactively make everything that I did worthwhile. And I want my sister to have a job that's reliable. And I want my nephew to have a home. It's just one-stop shopping. And I'm stoked.
That's going to be your legacy. But also your legacy is going to be that you've entertained millions of people.
I appreciate that.
You've brought smiles to the faces of millions of people through your scrotum.
That's right.
But through your heart to your scrotum, dude.
And my legacy is that I fell out of a fucking airplane as a load fell out of the tip of my dick.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude. So the idea is that the comedy special that you guys watch, which is called Gnarly, which I'm trying to sell right now, I'm super confident that it'll sell.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows where
it'll
go? But
you do that on purpose? Hulu knows where it'll go.
Netflix makes all kinds of sense.
Yeah.
And what a treat to be seeing dicks show up everywhere. Like, you know, tight shots of dicks.
Yeah, I mean,
like the movie that we're both in, the Adam Devine movie.
Yeah, Game Over, man.
Fuck yeah.
Tons of dicks.
All kinds of fucking tight, extended shots of dicks.
Yeah.
And not as
they've proven they can do that and they're successful.
Yeah. Right, and Hulu's very dick friendly.
Yeah. You know? I love that that's your first time when you sit down for a meeting, you go, first of all, are you dick friendly?
Are you guys cool with my dick?
By the way, dick friendly is a good name for a special.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. At this point.
Or a Chili's franchise restaurant spinoff.
At this point, like going, I should say when I did my first 20 minutes that I put together for the bucket list tour, like an equally viable title was A Little Cum Heavy. A Little Cum Heavy.
Yeah.
Because everything was about cum.
Well, Steve-O, first of all, your journey has been amazing.
Well,
you're never too fun heavy.
Congratulations on your sobriety. 10 years?
Over 10 years now.
Over 10 years.
Dude, that's unbelievable.
That's awesome. And you really turned this, like, you one door closed in terms of the Jackass stuff, and then you managed to keep it going. And I'm so
stoked,
proud of
man.
You. I'm proud of Wee Man for getting the Chronic Tacos going, and he's getting Knoxville with his movie career. Like, you guys really turned it around. You kept it going, and you're doing exactly what you want to do, and in the process, entertaining a fuck ton of people, which is
and
so
expanding
great to see.
And evolving, like you were talking about, like just
it's crazy.
You know, that's what this business is. You want to keep trying to.
I thought one thing was over, and I was starting a new thing.
Yeah,
and then it just turned out that nothing ever ended, and it all just like merged into one. Like you know, so all of my worlds have come together.
And
I did put in the time to make it, you know, to make it all count. So it's sort of triple threat shit.
I think the next stunt, and this could be in the third special, is having a baby and then having Brad fight it.
Yeah.
When it's Brad's size.
That's
the true...
You come take on my nephew.
All right, I gotta go.
Brad's gotta go train.
Cut the ribbon at the Radical Ranch. But no kids for me, man.
I'm gonna go do some push-ups.
And thank you guys, man.
Dude, thanks for doing this again. It's
course,
I mean, dude, it's
it.
Like,
dude,
you're
congrats,
so fun, man.
Sandra Bullock, Jim Jeffries,
cool, man.
Who else have been heavy hitters?
Bill Burr,
Steve-O.
Steve-O.
Yeah, we had,
dude.
I don't know if you're right there with it, man.
I don't know if you know this,
but this guy, Steve-O, came out of an airplane while skydiving. Yeah. That was a big thing.
Yeah. I love Burr. Has not come out of any sort of moving aircraft.
I got a lot of funny bones coming up.
I'll put all of that in the intro in the beginning.
Right,
episode.
Even though they didn't go on sale yet, I don't think.
Okay.
But whatever.
This isn't going to go up till Monday either, so you can send me stuff and cool. put that in.
Ah, fuck it, who cares?
Yeah. go see Steve-O.
Yeah, dude. That's the show.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.